Good afternoon, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. One of the very few shows on internet radio and around the world where ETs are listening in, also along with human beings. It's great. Makes it more exciting, you know? The pressure kind of is on. Anyway, I'm just joking around. I don't know for sure. Who can tell for sure? It's possible, I suppose, because I always talk about ETs being out there, you know? Unfortunately, we don't know. We don't have proof that they exist. Isn't that true with so many things? About God, do we know that God exists for real? Is God real? I don't think most people believe that or know that. So that's the way we are, living on a planet of a lower evolutionary category. But it's all good. It's what's part of God. Is part of the plan in that great and wonderful process of evolution ever since the Big Bang, huh? And here we are on an outward spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, revolving around the center of the universe. That's true, right? We know that's true. And now the sun is up in the sky because of daylight saving time. I was just talking with Don. I'm going to have to move from my location here because it's pretty hot now. I'm used to coming out here at 6 p.m. on Saturday, and the sun will be just above the hill, above the treetops. And now it's like way up in the sky, like it would have been, well, you know. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things, among others, that were on my mind. And I mentioned before that I'm a singer, you know. I've kind of laid off from singing recently, but I've started back up this week. And I've got a repertoire of over 100 songs that I learned because I used to go to the Wounded Warriors at the Warrior and Family Support Center on Fort Sam Houston. About once a month, dating back to October of 2013. And so I slowly began learning these karaoke songs, if you will, you know, where you just have the music, no vocals. And I would go over there, and that is one of the best things I've done in my life. And I would sing for about an hour and a half, beginning at 11:30, usually when they had lunch over there. But because of COVID, I haven't been there since February of last year. I'm waiting to go back any time now. And it's a great experience, you know. There's really not a lot of people over there. Maybe at the most at one time there was 30 or 40. You know, a lot of people standing in line while I was there, rocking the microphone, you know, singing my songs. And all my songs are geared towards soldiers who are wounded, you know, and military, I should say, military who are wounded, Air Force too, Marines. I've never seen any Coast Guardsmen over there. I've seen Navy, Air Force, Marines, Army, mostly Army. So I've learned all these songs, and they all relate to God, nature, love, healing. Really good songs. I love them. I love my music. And I took off about 2 or 3 months where I wasn't singing, except with my choir, you know, at church on Sunday. Not much else in between. And so I've been doing like about 10 songs a day for the last 4 days. Just going over my songs, and I was a little bit rusty. I found that, you know, I didn't remember some of the words here and there. Mostly good, you know, I could sing songs all the way through, but there were a couple of songs that were, a few songs that were tripping me up. Anyway, so for me, it's been a long, strange process, if you will, how to sing in a microphone. I've talked about this in the past on the show, and I see, you know, concerts on YouTube, and that's my latest thing. Now that I realize I've got contact, I mean, I can access YouTube, I'm having a great time just going through all the stuff that's on YouTube instead of watching regular TV. I'm watching comps and concerts. I'm watching Survivor Man, the Bigfoot series, and that's something else I'm going to talk about later. And I think I'll move right now because the sun is getting pretty hot. And all the stuff that YouTube has, you know. Tonight I might watch Riverdance. You remember the show they used to do? I went to like 3 years in a row, the Riverdance at the Wolf Trap Amphitheater in Alexandria, Virginia, around there anyway, and saw the show. And then they stopped after, I think the last year we went, probably 2008, 2009, and they haven't done it since. But they've done it at the Madison Square Garden back in the early 2000s. Pretty neat show. If you haven't seen Riverdance, check it out on YouTube. Those Irish people, they can dance, you know. It's a really cool show. They got like several different sections to it. Very interesting. So being a singer, going back to singing, I'm still in this process of evolving as a singer, you know. I found that, I had to get my bottle of water, a very good singer, you know. I'm a pretty serious person when it comes to critiquing other people and how they sing. I watched the Grammys last Sunday, and the Grammys have gotten a little bit out of control, if you ask me. Now they're only focusing on rap and hip hop. They've kind of gravitated towards something outside of my preferences, if you will. I like rock, hard rock, heavy metal, pop, but they become so, I don't know what it is, you know. Beyonce, I guess it's big money, you know. Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're billionaires, and so they've had an influence on the music scene for many years now. Not that I mind that, that's okay, but they just don't recognize hard rock, soft rock, heavy metal, you know, Metallica. If you've never seen some guys that really know how to rock and roll, check out Metallica in YouTube. I mean, those guys are totally awesome. I mean, they get going, and their sound is just, it gives me goosebumps, you know? And they're like a perfectly in-tune machine, pumping out these really cool sounds, I think. Might be too loud, or maybe too rough, if you will, for some people. I know that they were thinking of inviting them to do the halftime show at one of the Super Bowls in the recent past, but they decided not to because they concluded that they were too non-family friendly, you know. They weren't really something that everybody could get into, but I like them. I grew up with rock and roll. The Beatles were rock and roll, you know. I grew up with the Beatles in the 60s. I remember their first songs back in 1963, 64. I was dancing to them outside my best friend's house in Natural Exist, New Brunswick, Canada. And so music has been an integral part of my life. And now over the last several years, I've realized that I have a gift in singing. I mean, and I mentioned this before on my show, I think I'm one of the best singers that I've heard. I mean, there are people who are better than me, but I have the basics down very good. Not many people who, in my opinion, are, if you look at the big picture, you know, not only the talent, the skills, but also the songs that I sing, the kind of songs, you know, songs that deal with God, love, nature, you know. And I sang over there at the Wounded Warriors flawlessly, you know, for an hour and a half, maybe made one mistake. That's a lot of words to remember, you know, when you're not looking at a screen. And so in regard to the microphone, something has been on my mind, and I finally worked it out. And now there's no doubt now that I'm white in what I'm about to tell you. And that is, you see the people, like on the Grammys last week, people giving concerts. I can tell you, and I've studied them, all the great singers, Frank Sinatra, Aretha Franklin, all the best rock singers like Robert Plant, Mick Jagger, I can't remember. Actually, I haven't studied him too much, but Queensryche, Jeff Tate, who's one of the best rock and roll singers, Ringo Starr, of course, in the Beatles, he's still going on. Bob Halford from Judas Priest, Edgar Winter, Sammy Hagar, Diana Ross, Gladys Knight, Barbara Streisand, Cher, Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees, David Lee Roth from Van Halen. And all of them, surprisingly, most of them, but they're all right-hand dominant microphone and the right-hand dominant singers. And some of them switch over, you know, a little bit to the left, a little bit every now and then to the left hand, you know, but mostly go back to the right hand. Now, you might not find this interesting, but I do, you know, because it's been rocket science to me. It really has. And I finally came up with something that eased my mind. You know, it was been on my mind, been trying to work it out for years. And I don't mean to degrade anybody out there, you know. We're all on our quest to understand, try to find the right way of doing things. And then you have the people who have held the microphone in their left hand predominantly, like Aretha Franklin, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, Tony Bennett, you know him, Axl Rose, Celine Dion, Martina McBride, and Shania Twain. Now, she's somebody, you've heard of Shania Twain, right? She performs in Las Vegas, I think. And she switches the microphone from one hand to the other like every few seconds. And personally, I find that distracting. You know, when they switch it, and I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it, you know. And that's okay if they want to do that, but for me, I like to analyze things and classify things logically. What's logical? What's rational? Okay. But I do research on the internet, you know, and I found out what hand should you hold the microphone in. And I conclude after my research that the right way of doing it is to hold it in the hand other than your dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, you should hold the microphone with your left. And if you're left-handed, you hold the microphone in the right. So some of these singers, I don't know if they're left or right-handed without doing research on them. You can find out usually in the internet if you query, you know, for example, what is Jeff Tate right-handed, or is Barbara Streisand right-handed? Is Cher right-handed? They all hold the microphone with the right hand, but they're probably left-handed. I think Jeff Tate's left-handed, so that's okay. Because why? Because you gesture with your right hand. If you're a right-handed person, that's the hand you write with. You take a pen and you can write. You sign your name. Some people are ambidextrous, you know, and that's okay. They're exempt from this classification, you know, what I'm talking about here, because they can do everything well with one hand or the other, you know, like some batters in baseball. they're ambidextrous. You know, they'll come up to the plate. If they're facing a left-handed pitcher, they'll bat right-handed. And if they're facing a right-handed pitcher, they'll bat left-handed. But the hand that you write with is the hand that you gesture with, because that's how you express yourself more accurately, more fulfillingly. You can express your hand better with your dominant hand. That's logical, right? So let's not stray outside the realm of logic here. You can say, well, I can still gesture. Well, I can hold the microphone in my right hand, still gesture with your left hand. Well, if you don't write with your left hand, if you don't do most things, brush your teeth with your left hand, if you don't do whatever with your left hand, then you should be gesturing with your right hand. So you hold the microphone with your left, gesture with your right. So there you go. Well, what about shifting from one hand to the other? Well, in my logical mind, and as you know, if you've heard my shows, I'm a very logical person. Unless you can devote the same amount of time from one hand to the next, then you're defeating your purpose of shifting the hand back and forth. I've seen some people, no offense, you know, I'm just making an observation here. They'll be mainly right hand, but they'll switch the microphone to the left hand for maybe 5-10 seconds, and then back to the right hand. And then maybe 2-3 minutes later, same thing, to the left hand, quickly, 5-10 seconds, 15 seconds, back to the right hand, either 4 minutes, back to the left hand, 5 seconds, right hand. What is the purpose in that, you know? If you're going to split it up from one hand to the other, the logical thing to do is to do it an equal amount of time. Otherwise, stick with just one hand, you know, because I find it distracting personally. And if that makes sense to you, is that logical, equal time? I mean, otherwise, I mean, why are you doing it, you know? Why? But that's just me. So those two main things are me has kind of set me free. And within the last couple of days, I just came upon that revelation. You know, and I've been trying to work this out for years. Now I've got it, you know, and the people, every time you see somebody, go ahead, do me a favor, please. When you see somebody on television, what if you watch a concert on YouTube, you know, if they're holding a microphone, watch how they do it. Even somebody who's like reporting in the news, you'll know that they won't deviate usually from one hand to the other. Either one or the other. Why? Again, because it can be distracting. You know, for me, it is distracting. I went to this one church, and this one guy, he was like switching the microphone every few seconds, you know, and like, dude, I mean, come on, stay with it. Concentrate on what you're talking about. It's the same thing with singing too. You know, concentrate on what you're singing rather than concentrating on switching the microphone whenever you get the desire to, you know? I mean, I can understand maybe if your right hand sweats like mine does sometimes, you want to wipe it off and hold the microphone when you're left just for a few seconds, you know? But, and that's another thing too, another point I wanted to make. When you switch the microphone from one hand to the other so much, you're losing concentration on singing a song when you could be out looking at the audience, looking at somebody, you know, making eye contact. Instead, they're like Shania Twain, no offense to her, but she's caught up in her own world, you know. She does a great job singing, but it seems like, and I've always noticed this too, I guess I can include this in my observation, my analysis, that usually when you sing, you want to make eye contact with the audience, because that's where the action is. It's like with public speaking. You want to make eye contact with the audience. So you need to be a total 100% focus of what you're doing so when you do make eye contact. Now, I hope I haven't offended anyone out there, you know. Come on now. It's all in the quest to do the right thing, find out the right thing. And that's the thing with this world, as we evolve, you know, and develop ourselves spiritually, we're learning to do the right thing with every aspect of our lives. Are we not? Are we not? So now I could be wrong. I mean, this is my opinion, you know. I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, and for the singers out there who are listening, well, all I can say is, am I right? If I'm not, then, well, just keep on doing what you want to do. You know, I'm just saying, this is my show. I can talk about whatever subject I want to talk about. If you want to pay BBS Radio for your own show, you know, I'd suggest go ahead and do it. You know, if you're passionate about something, get your own show. It's wonderful, you know. Get to talk for an hour. It's great stuff. Another thing I wanted to tell you about, changing the subject. Bigfoot, like I was talking about. I figured out who Bigfoot is. I figured out the Bigfoot phenomenon. I know who Bigfoot is. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? You're not going to forget, are you, if I tell you? This is a real revelation. I mean, this is going to blow your mind, so to speak. You ready? You want to hear who Bigfoot really is? I'm going to explain it to you by first saying, remember the movie Avatar? How they put themselves, those people, those more advanced people put themselves into those blue bodies with the tails? Well, Bigfoot is none other than a body created by some extraterrestrials who are making contact and have made contact with us for years. That's one way they can do it. They put their astral body into that huge gorilla-like, ape-like, 10-foot frame lying in a box, if you will, just like an avatar, slip into their coffin-like box themselves, you know, and their astral body goes into that huge ape-like frame, and then they can walk around. And that's why they never get caught, why they've never been shot. No one's ever, you know, had seen a dead Bigfoot, right? In other words, because they're extraterrestrials. And they can go interdimensionally, you know, as such. I watched an episode of Bigfoot on television where the man was saying, I saw this Bigfoot walking across a field. He had like an aura of light, like a circle of light around him. And as he continued to walk, the light circle grew smaller, smaller, and smaller, and he just disappeared. Well, that's what you call some really good technology there, just like with an avatar, switching your spirit into another body. Also, they have technology that can help them enter and exit dimensions, you know. Supposedly, there is a parallel dimension to Earth, you know. This is the physical dimension we're living in, but there's also like a fourth dimension, a parallel universe out there, which can be accessed by having knowledge of it. As simple as that, my friends, you know, knowing what it's about, then just like we have technology here on Earth, and you can utilize that technology to interact and to control and manipulate that environment. You just have to know about it. It's all about knowledge. You know, there's no magic involved there. It's just knowledge. And you have to realize that these ETs, you know, whether they're the grays or human-like beings, humanoid, whether they're tall or short, or like some of the creatures in Star Wars, you know, that type of body, if you will, different kind of skin, color skin, fabric of skin, eyes, different color, hair, different color, different size, shape, height, you know, tall, small. There's a lot of them out there in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. And so right now we're the like the black sheep of the intergalactic community. We're kind of isolated on our planet because, isn't any surprise, let me hear you say it. Why? Can you tell me why? I'm listening. Why are we isolated from the intergalactic community? Besides not being sufficiently evolved, you know, so that if they did land, we wouldn't freak out or start trying to kill them. Why? I'm listening. Oh, I think I heard it out there because of all the wars we've had. In the, what? You say, what wars? You don't know. We haven't had any wars in our past. Oh, really? Well, just look on the internet, my friend. You'll see that there's been a lot of wars and killing in our past. And, you know, I don't feel so bad about my radio show talking about spiritual stuff now when there's been so much killing. And I'm talking about, hey, you know, Mother God, Father God, heaven, there's a sun, the devil is not real, stuff like that, you know. Of course, some people want to debate that right away. What did he say? Well, I guess it all boils down to one thing. I'm entitled to my opinion. And my opinion is based on a lot of research and study. You know, I'm not one of these people that thinks inside the box and is not growing and developing themselves spiritually. No offense taken, my friend. No offense to you, my friend, I mean. Anyway, I'm pretty proud of myself for figuring some things out. ETs. Yes, there is a Mother God. And I won't stay on this subject too long. I'll just say that if you believe in a Father God, like the Bible talks about, then rationally, logically, you have to understand we cannot create children. And we're all the children of God. Don't tell me I'm not a child of God, because I won't believe it. That's like communicating with a five-year-old, you know. The knowledge just isn't there. The intelligence is not sufficiently developed to understand that you need a mother and a father. We live in a universe of males and females, alpha, omega, the yin and the yang, positive and negative, male and female. You can't have children, and we are the children of God. Even Jesus said so himself, our Father who art in heaven. I mean, hello? Come on. We are the children of God, and you can't create children without a mother and a father. I mean, that there's nothing outside that process that would work logically. And besides that, Father God is a man. What makes you think that he wouldn't want a woman by his side? That's logical. I mean, I don't want to even go on thinking about it, you know, because sometimes some people's logic is just fixed inside the box. They're believing what they're told. They can't think for themselves, you know. And the sun, I mean, first of all, you have to believe when you think about the sun being heaven is that you have a spirit in your body. When we dream at night, our spirit leaves and goes and travels in dreamland. Yeah, you too. Do you ever dream? Some people just don't dream. No, everyone dreams, my friends. And so that spirit is made of light energy, and the spirit can live in fire, whether it's the fire of the sun, the fire of hell down below the surface of the earth, in the core of the earth, any kind of fire. The fire of the sun is a very special fire, you know. It's every second, like 6 million tons of hydrogen are converted to helium. You know, it's an amazing fire. And the devil... Well, for some people who believe in the devil, all I can say is this. If the devil was really harassing us and instilling fear in our lives and controlling us, intimidating us, if you believe also in a God, why would you think God would allow that to happen? Because God has power over the devil and God could destroy the devil. I mean, case closed, really. But I'll tell you who the devil is, for real. The devil is Archangel Lucifer. Like Archangel Michael is the angel of all angels, he's in charge of the angels. Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons, and they exist. I know some people don't want to believe that. Yes, but demons do exist, my friend. Yes, my friend, demons do exist. And why? They have a purpose, you know. They're mean and nasty, and they'll keep you on the right path, and that's the main thing, for you to be kept on your path that you came here to Earth to do, your mission. Until you make it, their job is to harass you, intimidate you, instill fear, get you on your path. Because God knows that some people out there need some serious harassing. Some people are downright evil and have been. There have been a lot of evil people on the earth, Hitler for one. And there's so many Stalin people that, have just gone down that wrong road. Now, I wouldn't wish eternal damnation on their souls. I don't know where they are right now. Hitler might still be in hell. I would forgive him, if the eternal creator of the universe is forgiving, then why wouldn't I be forgiving? And why not? Because you have to consider, my friends, how these people were brought up. Were they sexually abused, as children? That'd be enough to get you going down the wrong path, Were they physically abused, beaten up as a baby? Were they just mistreated, made fun of by their peers? That can shape the mind of somebody. One thing about the Germans, they got their butts kicked in World War I, so to speak. In other words, they lost. And so they had all of that really bad time recovering after World War I. And so they were pretty angry about that, looking for revenge, really. And then along comes Hitler. And he's got a calculation in his mind how to get even, and starts getting some money together. They steal diamonds, they steal gold, and they're mean, they're ruthless, they're cruel, they're murderers, really. He said, that. But so they're able to accumulate a lot of money, and then they start building their war machine, and they're white supremacists, and they're intent on taking over the world. It almost happened, my friends. Things would have been a lot different if Germany had conquered England and America in World War II. They were very, 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 very close to developing the atomic bomb. If they had beaten us to the atomic bomb, that's the end of the story. That would have been it. We would have been here in the United States in a country dominated by Nazis. They would have, who knows what would have happened, but right after the war anyway, for many years, people probably would have revolted, but who knows what kind of evil they would have concocted to have kept us, as their slaves, if you will, dominating us, saying, okay, white supremacy is the way of the world, and they were racist. I'm not a racist. I live with an African-American woman. I can't believe some of the stuff that's gone on in her past. I'm watching Lincoln, on CNN Sunday night, the way they were back then, back during the Civil War times, how they mistreated the black people, enslaved them, beat them, raped the women, hung a lot of beautiful young men and women too, I'm sure, treated them like animals instead of human beings when they saw, that they were exactly the same, only the color of the skin was different. Just their intellect back then, I'm just amazed at just how they lacked intelligence, But I understand, that's evolution. They didn't have a lot of money back then. The technology was, non-existent pretty much. Just had the wheel. They had no power engines, combustion engines, no steam engines. The first car came out, I think, in the early 20th century, like 1900-something. But as far as racism, and then it endured over the years. After the Civil War, 1865, 1875, 85, 95, 1910, 1920, 1930, still going on. What's happening here? What's the matter with these people, why are you racist? Why can't you see with your own two eyes and listen with your own two ears, Don't listen to your parents. They're leading you down the wrong road, Your ancestry has fooled you into believing something that's not true. Get with the modern-day world, So then it comes into the 60s. They have the riots, the civil rights riots, in the 60s. Being attacked by policemen and dogs, German Shepherd dogs. Beaten. Killed, some of them, And that was like 100 years later. But then again, I understand it. The process of evolution. It's a slow process, you know. Love leads the way in getting rid of those fears, understanding. Love and the value of human life, you know, the value of human life has been increasing every year that we live on this planet. There's a lot of very good people out there, decent, hardworking, kind, loving, generous people. Most people are. The majority of people are. It's true. It's only a small minority of the bullies, the tyrants, the dictators that are out there, and they should be isolated. You know who they are. There's no place for them in a modern world. Like this recent killings in Atlanta, six Asian women, you know, because they're blaming them, the Asian people, for the virus. You don't take anybody's life like that, you know. It's against God's will to go against the creator of the universe, to kill what the creator has created. It's going to put you in a very, very nasty situation later on. You know, when your day comes, like that guy, unless he repents, and then it won't be so bad. I mean, you still have to pay for his mistakes, you know, taking someone's life. Just think, all those lives, besides taking those souls right there, the loved ones of those women, all the people, how they've been affected, how that has changed their lives around 360 degrees, you know, and now left them bitter. All those beautiful loved ones who they would interact with on a daily basis, and they would share their lives and laughter and eat food together and have fun and were joyful together. And now, just like that, guy picks up a gun, pulls the trigger, and now he's in captivity, in jail. It's a good thing he didn't kill himself. I'll say that, because I know that he would have gone to a very, very nasty place. Hell is no joke, my friends. For those people who haven't repented from the really bad sins like murder, rape, physical abuse, sexual abuse, there's a place, a very special place, waiting for them. I guarantee it, my friends. I guarantee you that is true. Absolutely guarantee you that's going to happen for those people. And there's some demons. I mentioned demons before. There's some demons in hell that are designed just to take care of people like that. Honest to God, that is true. They know just what to do, and they will instill the most terrifying fear you could imagine. That's what lies in store for someone who takes the life of someone else. Yes, it's true. So, and you know, God said, "Revenge is mine, saith the Lord." God will, on that judgment day in the future, when we all will come to an end, you know, our physical bodies can't go on forever. Hopefully we'll live to be of old age, you know, ripe old age, but not always. Even babies die right away after they're born, you know. There's no telling. So we must be ready, you know. Repent each day. All you got to do is speak the words, you know, just like the magic words. You have to talk to your creator. Come on. You can do it. We have to pray for each other. You'll know that you have made it, that you have achieved the greatest spiritual development, my friends, of all, when you learn how to pray for each other, when you're praying for everybody, everybody, everybody. You have to learn to pray for everybody. And the war and the killing will continue until we learn to pray for each other. There you go. It's as simple as that. And all you got to do is speak the words. How hard is that? It's not hard at all. I do it all the time. Do it all times during the day, in the morning, in the evening, before I go to bed, when I get in my car. Hey, that makes sense, right? when I get in my car, God, please keep us safe. That's all you got to say. God, please help me not to fear and worry. God, thank you for our blessings. You know, when you feel good, everything's going well, you got some money, you know, got enough money to take care of your bills and a little bit extra. Thank you, God. Please continue to bless us. Thank you. I love you, God. You're awesome. And put a little praise on the Creator too, God. You are just wonderful. You know, I think you're amazing. You're just incredible. You know, what compares to you, God? You know us intimately. There's no one like you, God. You're powerful beyond comprehension. You're knowledgeable beyond comprehension. All it takes is for us to try to reach out to you and open that communication line. Of course, the more you do it, then the better your communication is. It's the process of acknowledging God, you know. The more you do it, the better those communication lines are going to be open, so to speak. Anyway, how am I doing on time? 6:42. Well, we're going to go out with the dogs after this. I take our dogs out to have them run. We go to this one location where it's safe. There's no people walking around, usually not anyway. And they're not mean. They just want to chase little creatures, whether it's a squirrel or a rabbit, whatever. And so if you have a dog, may I make a suggestion? If you want a healthy, happy dog, you got to let him run. Dogs love to run. They know that's the secret to their longevity for a healthy life, because it exercises their heart and their lungs, gets the blood flowing faster than their veins, you know, and it just, I've seen it. A healthy dog, then will be down the road, you'll have less medical bills. They just love to run. Let them run. Take them somewhere, maybe a dog park, and just let them run around, you know. Walking your dog on a leash is good, but it's not as good, you know. So they can run free. That's the key to their happiness. I'm just sharing that little secret with you. And if you don't believe that, well, you're entitled to your opinion. Anyway, the sun is going down. It's getting in my eyes. I keep having to back up here. I went to Zumba today, and I must say, I am very good. I'm an excellent dancer. I am so good. Plus, I don't know if I told you this before in a previous show, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. When I was living in San Diego in the 70s, I started studying a form of Korean karate called Tang Soo Do, T-A-N-G-S-O-O-D-O. And I worked up to a green belt, so I got my basics down. I used to be sweating a lot after 1 hour. There's something on the roof. I wonder what that is. Might be a bird. I'm out here in the outdoor patio. I just heard something up above me. I don't hear it now, though. Anyway, so I had a really cool instructor. He was a 7th-degree black belt, Mr. Lee. He's a short guy, but that guy was so good. And I was always impressed by that. You know, back then, I was a big Bruce Lee fan. And I would just marvel at some of the things he could do with his body, you know, kicking. He was into such a tremendous training regimen. You know, he could lift weights. I mean, imagine, if you will, 70 pounds of weight, holding it straight out in front of you, you know, with your palms face downward, holding this weight, arms straight, 70 pounds. You know how hard that is? Bruce Lee could do that. And the kicking, I was kind of captivated by that. I marveled at that. So I enrolled in Tang Soo Do, and then I did it for about a year, and then I quit. But I got a green belt, and I was pretty good at it. And when I joined the Army in 1982, I went over to Korea. In 1987, I stayed an additional year, and I got a black belt in Taekwondo there. I worked my way up to the belts pretty quickly because I had those basics down, the punching, kicking, and blocking. And now when I go go to Zumba, I incorporate some of these. They don't mind me doing my own thing in the back, you know. I might follow the instructor for a few of her moves, but I like doing my own thing. And I've already asked her. I go up and, right at the beginning, you know, I introduced myself and I said, "Hi, my name's Blake, and I just want you to know that, I hope you don't mind, I'm back here doing my own thing. I just love the music, love dancing to the music, you know." And she said, "Yeah, it's okay, you know, as long as you like the music, that's all that matters." She said, "I've had guys come here before, and they'll be doing, like, get down and doing push-ups during the music and other stuff, you know." So she said, "It's okay." So that's what I do. I'm up at the back. I'm running around. I like slow jog, running backwards, running forward, backwards, forward, backwards, forward, backwards, forward, backwards, spinning around on my tiptoes. I like walking on my tiptoes and like a ballet dancer, you know, and spinning around, running backwards, jumping up and down, you know, like skipping rope, jumping up and down, tapping my toes. I do my leg raises like in Taekwondo. And you take the leg and you lift up above your head, you know, right leg 10 times, left leg 10 times, knee raises up to your chest, you know, punching. I do a lot of practice punching to the beat of music, which is cool, you know. I don't want to hit anybody, but that's just one way to exercise the arms really well. Plus, it's a good way to stay in shape. Between you and me, I've never hit anybody out of anger in my life, my whole life. I've been hit myself. Punched in the face like a few times, you know, but I haven't retaliated and hit the person back. Out of fear, I guess you can say, you know, one time anyway. Another time I could have. He was one of my best friends, and I hit him down on the ground, wrestled him down right away, and I could have punched him. I had him strapped down, but I didn't. You know, I just don't like hitting anybody. But when I was a black belt, we used to spar, and I went in a couple of tournaments, you know, and when I took my black belt test, too, we had to spar in tournaments. I lost both my tournaments, but what can I say? They were better than me, you know? And one thing is, when you're in a tournament, I mean, for me, anyway, my heart was beating so fast, it was hard to even move, you know? I was younger, a lot younger. That was back in the 80s, so... It was like 40 years ago. One way to control that is to do a lot of sprints, you know. When I was younger, I've done a lot of sprints recently. And I like sprints. They're good for you, you know. They really do get the heart beating faster, that's for sure. How am I doing on time? 6:48. Got about 7 more minutes. Let me get my book here. By the way, if you ever want to go to YouTube, I've got some videos. I'm going to create a video tomorrow. And for all those out there listening, I'm going to call this Blake the Great, I think. Like Alexander the Great, Blake the Great. I like that. It sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to get famous and make some money, you know, move out of this house. Because there's 6 of us living here. I need to move to a bigger house. Anybody out there help me? Got $1 million you can give me? That'd be great, like a generous donation to Blake Ruby and the show. I'm just joking. Of course, if you would, that'd be fine also, if you could. Why not? I thought I'd ask. It's like in church, you know, they ask for an offering, you know. And it's always an awkward time. I feel awkward asking that, you know. Are there any millionaires out there? Maybe billionaires? Can you give me $1 million? That'd be nice. I really would appreciate it. I'd give you a hug and a kiss. How about that? I could be your spiritual advisor. If you like my show and everything I talk about, then maybe you could set me up, you know, get me on real radio, some radio station. I'd have to say goodbye to BBS Radio, and I'd be sad about that because I love Doug and Don. You know, they're awesome. But, you know, on to bigger and better things, and I could use this as a stepping stone to get there with your help. You like what I talk about, right? Of course, there's a lot more good shows coming in the future, my friends. And I'm not afraid to talk about the ETs that are out there, you know. I feel right in my heart and in my soul that we would be better off as a human race if we had contact with extraterrestrials, we would be star travelers. They could help us cure diseases, cancer. We would know how to cure cancer. Imagine that. Any disease like COVID, you know, any virus, they could tell us exactly what we're doing wrong and how to cure it. Simple as that. As simple as that. Wouldn't that be awesome? So if you had a choice, lift up your hands on your left hand. Okay, that's stay the way we are. Still have diseases come, COVID, other diseases, maybe in the future, like we've had before in the past, the Spanish flu, cancer, a lot of poverty, a lot of people that don't have universal health care, staying kind of bound to our planet, not exploring the universe, which is our God-given right, which is our desire to explore, quenching that desire. Okay, that's on the left hand. On the right hand, making contact with extraterrestrials, changing your mind about things, developing yourself spiritually, evolving, making contact with ETs, and what will we have? Access to their technology, a way to go to the stars, become star travelers. They would teach us how to cure diseases, cancer, heart disease, viruses. Left hand, right hand. Okay, which one do you want? Want to stay the way that you are and have wars, you know, not get along with all these countries, be at odds with Russia and China on the left hand. On the right hand, we're all one human race. We're all united in our desire to let our families live into the future, future generations of children, their children. No more war, peace. Come star travelers on that right hand, or back to the left hand, stay here on Earth. Die in a war, die from a virus. How many now in the United States? 500,000, getting close to that. What's more logical? What is standing in our way? Fear. Because you are afraid of freaking out. We are afraid of, like what happened with the War of the Worlds on the radio show back in the 30s. You know, people thought they were being attacked by Martians, and they panicked because people can't handle the truth. But I think people can handle the truth. I think you can handle the truth. Can you handle the truth that they're out there, that we're not alone in the universe? I think you can. Like I said, most of us are decent, intelligent, hardworking, loving, generous, kind, wonderful, family-oriented, happy, joyful people. It's just a small minority. And there's a lot of, among them are a lot of rich people who are pushing the buttons, controlling us in the world. The tyrants, the bullies, the dictators who are holding us down. And they should be isolated. Ship them off to an island somewhere. Let them fight among themselves and destroy themselves if they want to. But leave us alone. Let us, the decent, hardworking, family-oriented people, be the ones to decide our fate. Not the billionaires who are the bullies and tyrants and dictators of the world. That is madness, you know? And we need to be more logical, more rational. What am I doing on time? 6:54, I got about a minute left. So here's a prayer. You know, the creator of the universe is out there. You can always go in your backyard tonight. Look up at the stars, which are really suns and planets. We call them stars if you want. And just say, Creator of the universe, I just want to say thank you for all this beauty, creating something out of nothing. I think you're awesome. Thank you for my life, for being alive at this very moment. I love you. Please continue to bless the United States of America, a wonderful country. The light of the world, we're going down a wrong path here and there, but please continue to bless us like you blessed us before. Guide us, help us, please, in every aspect of our life. Pray that prayer, my friends, please, because we want America, the light of the world, the leader of the free world, to keep on evolving, developing, lead us all the way to where we're going. You know, we're not alone. We're kind of stuck in a gap, just like at one time they thought the world was flat. And they thought that everything revolved around the world. Now we don't know, we're not alone, that there are ETs out there, beings. Got it, thanks. Beings just like us, just like us. Kind of people, you can call them people, just different. Just like a deer or an elephant, if you will. All right, take care, my friends. I love you. May God bless you and protect you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.